It's so, such an easy read, the translations now. Of course, you can get on Amazon or anywhere else. I'm not, go to a bookstore, go to a fashion bookstore. Some of the older translations are better. They come in all different shapes and sizes. Where's my Sun Tzu? This is one I got from the crew here, the Young Bucks and everybody else. This is Art of War. If you're watching on Pain.tv, it slides out right here. And I'm just knocking things down now. It's fantastic to have this makeshift studio. Let me pick out an interesting portion of it for you and change the music up. Get into this a little bit, a little diversion. Art of War, some of the tenets. In night fighting, then make much use of signal fires and drums, and in fighting by day, of flags and banners as a means of influencing the ears and eyes of your army. A whole army may be robbed of its spirit. A commander-in-chief may be robbed of his presence of mind. Now keep this and apply it to what has happened in the last 2 years about your spirit, your presence of mind. And if you're looking at this as a war, and you should, are we in the morning of the war? Are we in the afternoon of the war? Or we are in the evening of the war? You may have thought that this is completed. We may have only been in the morning of the war so far and headed into midday. In the evening, or we may have passed midday and be headed into the evening. See, it's interesting how these things work out. Now a soldier's spirit is keenest in the morning. By noonday, it has begun to flag, and in the evening, his mind is bent only on returning to camp. That's where we've been, right? Let's just get this thing back to normal. Fucking, this is crazy. Tired. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of scrapping. Hey, man, I've been scrapping since I was 12, man. I'm fucking tired, too. But you got to be on guard at all times. You have to understand these people. If you don't understand this is a war, again, the New York Times has a has a podcast. You can go listen to them and some of these other cement heads that are out there. A clever general, therefore, avoids an army when its spirit is keen. Let's translate that on the fly. This is on the fly. If I were to do a live show, I mean, by the way, we just got a Zoom account. So we'll be doing, I think, some live stuff with the folks on Pain.tv. They can log in and check in and do some kind of live show once we figure out how the hell to use this thing. That was one of our goals. But doing live analysis is a lot of fun. So if you think about a clever general, therefore, avoids any army when its spirit is keen. Remember the folks saying, fuck you, we're not taking the jabs. Nothing you can do to change our mind. Like, okay, we better back our shit off. These vaccine mandates, we better back off them too. We better just back the hell off and regroup. You don't think that's what they did? But a clever general attacks an army when it's sluggish and inclined to return. This is the art of studying moods. So they beat us down. Now they're coming back. Disciplined and calm to await the appearance of disorder and hubbub amongst the enemy. This is the art of retaining self-possession. Now, when you read through the Art of War, and if you get a good translation, there's a lot of neat little things you can learn. And we'll talk about in the Still of the Night. See, the playlist takes over. We're talking about darkness and striking at nighttime. Some strategies when you take a look at Sun Tzu's The Art of War. And let me just summarize some of the things that I've taken away from it. to win without fighting and thus achieve the objective without destroying it. Have they had to raise one fucking gun in this country to take it over, to change it? Not one single bullet. To avoid strength and attack weakness, always striking the enemy where they are most vulnerable. The use of deception and foreknowledge, that is winning the information war. Well, they have a big leg up with that. They control the media. Preparation and speed, moving swiftly to overcome all resistance. That's something that you have more than the government has. The government moves slow. If they move slow, this book will teach you, you move fast. That's an advantage. If your enemy is slow, you move fast. You move swiftly. Shaping the enemy by making them meet you at a time and place of your choosing. They're not doing that. They're dictating every fucking thing. A total disadvantage. They're setting up these plans. The simulations, that's what they do. They're setting up their strategy for attack. Plain and simple. You're at a disadvantage. You're being drawn into battle with them on their planned battlefield, on their planned rules. You're being sucked into these things. You best break out of that mold. Character-based leadership or leading by example. Well, that's another disadvantage they have. They have no character. The examples they lead by are lies and deception, subterfuge. Plain and simple. But there are enough stupid people in this country who can be swayed and tricked by subterfuge. And there's advantages of subterfuge. When you read Sun Tzu, it's... his philosophy has widespread applications in different areas, but first, is it's instructive to see how it may have been used in recent conflicts. Let's talk about when Russia took Crimea without a shot being fired. Well, they haven't done that here to you, to the United States. What about other countries of folks who are listening? Australia comes to mind, the UK. Did they fire a shot? No. They used subterfuge. This was a plan. A plandemic. A scamdemic. And they're doing it again. Plain and simple. And the Russians took Crimea without firing a shot by employing deception. The Russian special force that took over the airports and other important installations used the simple ruse of removing any insignia from the uniforms. They moved very quickly. At first, it was reported that the well-armed invasion force was merely a local militia group who had seized these key facilities. When there was a power vacuum in Kiev, keeps coming up, right? And the chain of command was in tatters. The bulk of the Russian army massing on the borders of Ukraine, ostensibly on an exercise, were swiftly returned to its barracks once the objective had been secured. Of course, when you add the importance of spies, preparations for battle, and it goes on and on and on, this is something that's played out time and time again, also in politics, in sports, and the knowing your enemy is important as well. And this book has a lot of these things. I'm going directly from the book. It's a very interesting translation. Know Your Enemy, and it is widely accepted that General Norman Schwarzkopf put the principles of Sun Tzu to good use in Operation Desert Storm, which was 90 to 91. I talked to Schwarzkopf a number of times. In fact, he was in an interesting business in regard to defense and aerospace that we had a hand in back in the day. By controlling the airspace, Schwarzkopf could follow Iraqi movements while concealing his own. He then fooled Iraqi President Saddam Hussein into believing that the main attack was an amphibious assault to the east instead of made a flanking attack from the west. on the ground to avoid strength and attack weaknesses. An American intelligence team in Saudi Arabia combined interviews with pilots, gun sight footage, and translating aerial and satellite photographs into color-coded images so Schwarzkopf could see at a glance the strength of the forces opposing him. As a result, the ground phase of the war was over in 100 hours, with the Iraqis suffering over 100 times the casualties that the Allies sustained. And you see, time and time again, these things play out. Art of war, worth its weight in gold.
Is that like, hey, Payne, is that like the art of the deal? Is that what that's like? Because, like, Trump wrote a book, The Art of the Deal. And I mean...
Stop it. Please stop it.
To the river to jump in. My baby showed up and said, I will tell you when. Well, I'm tall down, almost level with the ground. Why not feel like this when my baby...
The voice is already tore down because we've been talking all goddamn weekend. Let's go to another clip. What do we got next? Oh, let's talk about what they're distracting you from. All this monkeying around. And with the help from their friends in the media, the fear bus is back in town. It doesn't matter, the gas is $7 a gallon now in California. Marine gas, something Michael Savage's people sent me today. So $7 headed to $8 in California. You have to laugh because it's exactly what we said was going to happen. And I don't think I believed it myself. In March, we talked about $6 a gallon gas, $7 a gallon of gas by the summer, $8. Well, it's summer in a week. It's the damnedest thing when you listen to this show, isn't it? Just takes a little while for everything to quote unquote come true. This is what they're happy to distract you from. Letting you know that you could die at any fucking minute. Let's go to the videotape. My God.
John Boyd Jr., fourth generation farmer, president of the National Black Farmers Association, with us from Virginia. Good to see you, sir. I appreciate it. How close are we to major dislocations in America's food supply?
We're in a crisis right now in America as far as the food chain goes and what's going on with the American farmer in this country. As you just spoke about the wetlands up in Illinois and the surrounding states that haven't been able to get a plow and a planter in the field, we're going to lose a lot of production there. The war in Ukraine and what's going on with Russia, you're taking out pretty much a whole region of the world that's not going to be able to produce corn, wheat, and soybeans. We're going to see a lot of empty shelves and a lot more higher prices. For those people who haven't been to the grocery store lately, the prices are already rising, and they're going to continue to go up. For the first time in my 39-year career as a farmer, I'm paying $5.63 for a gallon of diesel fuel, $900 a ton for fertilizer, all-time high prices for soybean seeds. And this is a time where America needs to pay attention to what's going on to farmers, because you may not need a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, but you need a farmer every day. When I finish, I'm going to eat dinner somewhere. So we need food. And this, I want to say this because I think it's very important. Farming isn't Republican. It isn't Democratic. It isn't independent. It's food. Land is neutral. My grandfather said land knows no color, doesn't know any party. If we do what we need to do, we can produce the food. So this is the time where the American people need to get behind and support the American farmer and put pressure on the administration to put things in place to help the farmers right now.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna ask this because the baby formula shortage, the administration seems so surprised by. They say, oh, no, nobody saw this coming. And then they said, oh, but we've been working on it for months. And then yesterday they just held a meeting about it. You're ringing the alarm bells right now about what's going to happen come late summer, fall, and then into next winter. What do you need from the administration that they're not giving you to do whatever you can to keep all of us fed?
Right now, farmers need farm operating capital. We need emergency funding. I reached out to the OCC, head of the OCC, to bring our top 10 banks to the table to see what they can do to put some emergency funding in the hands of farmers so that we can plant our crops. These high costs of expenditures are not in our budget, people. We didn't know we were going to be paying $6 for diesel fuel and $900 for a ton of fertilizer. So we need help, and we need it now. And we only have a short window of opportunity. We can't come back in July and say, oh, since we found a little bit of money, we're going to start.
Yeah, hard to put crops and corn and everything else in for July. The president in his policies or his proposal promises to eliminate the baby formula shortage. He said he's going to cut through all this red tape. Yes. Is there red tape that farmers are up against right now, especially the small independent guys, that the Absolutely. Administration could eliminate? Like what?
Absolutely. Right now, as African-American farmers in this country, we have $5 billion that's being held up in federal aid and debt relief to farmers and farmers of color that we really could use right now.
Yeah.
And the president told me last year at the White House that he would sit down with me to talk about a strategic action to put something in place to help these needy farmers right now. That meeting hasn't happened. So I'm on your show tonight to say, for anybody from the administration, my phone number is the same, and I'm waiting to have that meeting, and we need to have it now. All and right. we have to make sure that these farmers have access to credit. So when that ground dries out, we can't be scrambling looking for monies to pay for the seed bill, the fertilizer dealer.
I hear you. John, I only got about 30 seconds, but I just wanted to get to this. Corn's up 9%, soybeans up 66% this year, wheat up 22.7%. Obviously, you talked about how the American people are also paying the price for this. What's the worst case scenario? Is it a baby formula shortage for everything from cereal to ice cream?
Yes, and you're going to see a lot of shortages in all those commodities that you showed up on the screen, from Kellogg's corn flakes. Corn is used to make those things.
Yeah.
The local bread, wheat is used to make those things. And all of the other additives that we use in other portions of the food, and the major three commodities that American farmers still grow better than anyone, corn, wheat, and soybeans. Right. So we have to make sure that we get those acres in the ground so that we don't have empty shelves in the coming months.
Hey, John, we appreciate you being here and being so blunt and honest. It's sometimes hard to hear these things, but we need to hear the warnings. We appreciate it. Love to hear the lessons your father taught you. And we'll be back in touch. All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for watching. Click the red subscribe button below so you can get more of News Nation's fact-driven, unbiased coverage.
Joe Biden claims he knows a thing or two about farming because he's from Delaware.
Everybody looks at me and says, have you ever been on a farm? And I remind them that nobody knows. I come from the state of Delaware. I represented Delaware for 36 years in the United States Senate, and we have more chickens than there are Americans, more broilers. And so, you know, I've been very, very, let me put it this way. If I didn't know something about farms, I'd have been a United States Senator for 6 years, not 36 years.
But old McBiden doesn't know how to farm, because if he did, he'd know this. Diesel fuel is now averaging $5.57 a gallon, and farmers can't keep up with the cost. They need cheap fuel for their tractors, so they're passing on the cost of fielding their crops to us. You add fertilizer prices going bananas. All this corn and the soybeans we use to feed livestock are much more expensive, which raises the prices of meat, my favorite thing to eat. My next guest says if things keep heading in this direction, we can expect food shortages, grocery bills doubling, and Americans are going to get hangry. And there's nothing scarier than a hangry American. And Reince is a corn and soybean farmer and owner of Blue Diamond Farming Company. All right. Did I get that right, my analysis? I'm not from Delaware.
Well, I think you're spot on, Jesse. If you think we're seeing food price spikes right now, I think the food price increases are just starting. And I don't think your grocery bill will be $1,000 a month. I think it may go up $1,000 a month. As a farmer, what I want to tell you, Jesse, is that I don't see, this is not a transitory problem. This is chronic and systemic. I mean, I think we're going to see real food scarcity and empty shelves. That's the end game of this. My diesel prices have doubled. That's crushing my profit, Arden. And my fertilizer prices for phosphorus, nitrogen, and potassium, the three key nutrients I need to grow my crops, are up three times. I just opened a fertilizer bill. It was $1 million. And it's one of three that I'm going to receive. It's up three times from last year.
That's unbelievable. I just want the American people to understand something. Right now, it's almost June, and you're coming on Jesse Waters Primetime as a farmer, and you're saying that this is going to happen. You're going to see grocery prices up $1,000. You're going to see food scarcity. Things are not going to be on the shelves. You're saying this now, in late May. I don't think the Biden administration, even if they saw this interview, is going to do anything about this. Do you have a message for the Biden administration?
Well, to look at this, you know, high prices are shutting down demand for ag inputs. We've just planted the crops by spreading things thin. Farmers have quit buying, and the supply chain is reluctant to restock. And so how do we fix it? Well, it started a year ago when this administration put tariffs on fertilizer inputs from friendly nations that could help us out. Our energy policy, the Green New Deal, ESG sort of ideas have made energy, particularly natural gas, much more expensive. And that's critical to the feedstock for fertilizer, especially ammonium and nitrate fertilizers. President Biden announced plans last week to help stimulate new fertilizer plants. But let's be realistic. That will take most of a decade to bring it online. And then, of course, you know, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, that's a region of the country that supplies about a quarter of all grain exports, about a third of all fertilizers. That's inaccessible to the market right now. There's a lot of policy changes we need to make this better.
Yeah, there's some policy changes and some political changes, and I think we know what those are. Ben, our hearts are going out to you. Hopefully you can keep up with all this craziness and keep helping put food on our table. We really appreciate all that you do, Ben, and everything else that's done out there in the heartland. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Of course, now breaking the World Health Organization. On the same day, they are celebrating themselves in Davos, is warning against mass gatherings because we could all die of monkeypox and to isolate for 21 days. And here we go again, right on schedule. As we said, by the third week of the summer, they had something planned on ginning something up to really kick off and take effect by that. And then perhaps again by the third week of September. And we've called these things time and fucking time again. It's not very complicated at this point. We have a formula. We have sources. It's not complicated. How do you do it, Payne? We just do it. Who gives a fuck how we do it? It only matters if you're right. Recipes and bragging is for chumps and losers. We get it right. That's all you need to know. If we say something's fucking cooking, something's fucking cooking. That's all you need to know. You should launch your own subterfuge, your own fucking war right here. It's a good start. The Art of War. And if people are wondering what translation this is, and I bought this for my sons and all the young bucks here. And this is nice. It's really, this is Art of War, Sun Tzu, introduction by Nigel Cawthorn. That's what it looks like. You can see that. So I'm sure you could find it published by Arcturus. Copyright Arcturus, Arcturus Holdings Limited. This was published in 2015. Excuse me. By Arcturus Publishing Limited in London. ISBN 978-1-78404-8174. You pipe that in, and you'll find it. That's the ISBN. That's a identify particular editions of different books. Most books have ISDN numbers. Some are longer than others. This is a short one. ISBN, not ISDN. I'm losing my fucking mind. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of connected to the internet. Again, ISBN 978-1-78404-817-4. I really like this edition. It breaks a lot of different things down, and it's pleasing on the eyes, too, if you want to. It breaks things down into chapters. Waging war, tactical dispositions, maneuvering, different chapters. And it's good if you want to give it to folks as a gift, too. But you can buy any version. You can buy new. You can buy used. It really is something. And you know what? It's fascinating because it's something that I've used my whole life. Long before I read the book. Just using street smarts and different things we learned working for the feds. Of course, I think we taught those pricks more stuff than we ever learned. We just naturally deceptive motherfuckers and slick and fast on our feet and fast on the street. I think you're born with that. Most of the guys that I had in my group and some of the cats we still depend on, they all have that in common. They're just so fast and they're so skilled and they just know the way around, man. And it's worth its weight in gold. And it is literally going to be gold now as things tighten up, and they are tightening up. And we're happy to share the intel that we garner from different places, and we've been doing that with you to try to empower you and give you some ammunition out here to make some fucking moves. I think a lot of people are getting it, which is good. Do I wish more people would get it? Yeah, I do. I do. But I understand that our platform's a lot bigger than it ever has been, and a lot bigger than it was when we started. And we're in the early stages now of our third year in broadcasting, so I think it will continue to get bigger. And that makes us happy to a certain extent. Do we wish it was as big as some of these other folks who get paid to lie to you? Yeah, we do, but we have to deal with what we have to deal with. We have to play the cards that are dealt to us, and hopefully you folks out there are extracting some intel from this and putting it to good use. You see those clips? That's what's going on out here. I want to tell you guys something too. I've said it before and I want to reiterate it. The food and the crops, the commodities that we're eating this year are from last year's harvest all around the world and throughout the United States. This year's harvest is going to be a nightmare. It already is a nightmare for many different things we've explained on here before, and perhaps the Young Bucks have prepared it tonight. I don't know what's in the news. I saw the first story is about monkeypox. That's the headline I have in front of me. I know we have that story. I don't know what else is in the news. I like to go in fresh, Frank Costanza style. I like to go in fresh. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever problems we're having this year will be exacerbated this time next year. And I think there's still time for you to get with it. Now, I've been talking about this since 2020, February and March of 2020, that this day was coming. It's obviously here, but if you think it's bad now, stick around. Make some preparations, folks, as best as you can. We got folks on pain.tv. We got a couple gardening groups on there. I'm learning so much. My wife, she loves to garden. She's learning stuff on there as well. But these are resources. And there are plenty of folks all around on YouTube that are doing fantastic work when it comes to this stuff, too. Not journalists telling you about, fake journalists telling you about these things. Real people. So you can learn from real people. And there's a fantastic sense of community on pain.tv. And the users, they create these groups and they go to town with them. We don't have anything to do with groups. People can create their own groups in their own little areas. And it's turning out to really be paying dividends for many people. If you've heard me say it's going to get bad or worse, I'm saying it again. I haven't been wrong so far.